Blog Talk Radio.
Here I am.
Blessings, everyone. This is your host for Grown Folks Talking, Mr. Forrest J. Nance. Once again, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on tonight. And I hope so far this has been a nice beginning of the new year. We hope we started off right last week with a blessing. So before we even go into the podcast, I want to say all praise is due to the Most High, because without the Most High, nothing can exist. All right? So for my atheist people out there, if you don't believe in the Most High, hey, listen, that's your choice. We don't discuss people's beliefs up here. We try to get to the root cause. That's why we got our dear brother Rashad Al-Amin on when we try to talk about the root cause for a protocol for good health, and also our dear brother Michael Collins, and we try to bring health and healing to everyone, okay? Also, I want to thank those who have supported the Green Tea. All right, as you guys know, you go on my Facebook page, Forrest Nance. Let me spell that for you, because some people spell my name with one R. F-O-R-R-E-S-T, Forrest Nance. N is in nut, A is in apple, N is in nut, C is in Charlie, E is in Edward. Want to thank you for supporting the Green Tea. It's moving along pretty good. It is. All right, and you get a discount. You go on my Facebook page and you order. There's a customer code there. Use it. All right, and you can order your Green Tea along with a steeper. All right, in case you guys don't have a steeper, that's the porcelain cup with the lid on top. All right, so keep supporting. The Green Tea is the most potent green tea in the world. I'm not just saying it to sell a tea. All right, the research has proven it. Go to teaforhealth.com. In fact, the gentleman that owns the company, I'm bringing them on sometime in the month of March, bringing them back on. All right. Also, I'd just like to say I want to dedicate this podcast to two actors who have passed away. All right. As everybody knows, Sidney Poitier has passed away. You know, he was active in the civil rights movement. He was kind of quiet, but everybody can't raise a lot of hell, if y'all know what I mean. But Sidney, you know, he did what he had to do when it came to activism in his own little way, all right? It's just like everybody can't be a basketball player, football player, baseball player, lawyer, doctor. Everybody has a special call. You have to find what works for you. He was a hell of an actor. He was one of the first, all right? So hopefully he's been blessed with paradise wherever his soul is. And also, for those of us who enjoyed the black exploitation movies, all right, couldn't feed too much into it, Max Julian, who played the Mac, passed away on his birthday. Somebody just said, oh, what happened? We had a fan there, I guess. but Max Julian passed away. He was the Mac. He played Goldie in the Mac. I still got the video here, and I still laugh when I look at it. It's very funny, you know. And but it was kind of a reality, because I'm going to tell you guys something, and I'm making no secret. You know, I used to book male and female dancers in my younger years, all right? And I've known a couple of guys that call themselves pimps, okay? And they said that movie right there was the closest thing that came to real life in terms of what the guys were out here doing, calling herself Mackin, all right? But then again, I'm not for exploitation of any queen out there. Just want to let you guys know, because we all make mistakes. It's just as you get older, either you're going to be an old fool or you're going to be a wiser person, because with age comes wisdom. And some people, well, I guess they just don't learn. But like I said, I'm not pointing fingers, because I definitely can't point a finger, because I made my share of mistakes being young, all right? Anyhow, we're going to have on this panel of ladies. Yeah, they're coming on, all right? I'm going to tell this quick story, because I always do, and I want to, because, you know, it makes me good inside, because some of us ain't here. Some of us graduate high school some of us are not here, excuse me, are not here from, we graduated in the 70s and 80s, even the 90s. You know, and some of our classmates, people we know, they made that transition, okay? I graduated high school in 1975. I'm going to tell a quick story, because I'm always going to tell it. There was a young lady by the name of Karen. She's coming on with her panel, Miss Deborah, and also Miss Jada, who came on my show before with her spiritual self. They're going to discuss narcissism, and they're going to introduce themselves to you in a few minutes. But I'm going to tell you a story about Miss Karen. When me and my boys, my mother gave me the car to graduate. There was no place else to go when I graduated on graduation night. And I went to Scott's Manor in Orange, New Jersey, and I saw this pretty, pretty, you hear me, family? Pretty brown skin young lady. I had to approach her because she was just so pretty. And I got to know her, not for a short period of time, because her family moved down to Texas. And I was just so pissed. But, hey, Family got to do what they got to do. She wasn't self-sufficient at the time. She went to Morgan State University, and she's still a beautiful person. We reconnected through Facebook. I hadn't seen her in 40-something years. All right, I heard from her, okay? And now we're friends for life, okay? She's down in Texas. But anyway, I have two lovely ladies from Texas, Ms. Deborah and Ms. Karen, and also, like I said, Ms. Jada from Charlotte, North Carolina. So listen, y'all, without further ado, because right now the spotlight is on these lovely ladies, all right? And also, if you need an itinerary, because we have some wonderful speakers coming up for the rest of this month, and we're booked up for March. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, February. How did I skip over February? Valentine's Day. Shame on me. January and February, okay, we have wonderful speakers coming on, all right? Brother Michael Collins will be on a little later on in case he wants to tell you, in case he'd like to let you know who the speakers are, all right? But without further ado, I'm going to bring in these lovely ladies, and they're going to discuss narcissism. So without further ado, Ms. Karen, are you there? Patient family. I know she's.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Karen, there you go.
Oh, you said Karen. Sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. Who's this, Jada or Deborah?
No, I thought you said Carolyn.
No, I said Karen.
Okay.
You still stuck on when I said Max Julian passed.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, but okay, so this is Jada.
Nope. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, dear. Okay, ladies and gentlemen,
yep.
this is Jada. Okay. Are Deborah or Karen on yet?
Deborah's here.
Okay, Deborah's there. Where's Karen at? Oh, hold on for a minute. I think my technician may be bringing her on. Be patient in there, podcast family. And also, I'd like to give a shout-out to all my people out there, my family members, all right, and those who have supported the podcast. Yep, okay. All right.
All three numbers. One second.
Okay, Jay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Karen, you there?
I'm here.
All right, there you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ms. Karen from Houston, Texas. So listen, ladies, you have the floor. Go right ahead, and you will go uninterrupted until you're ready to either do a Q&A or have a commentary by myself and Brother Michael or Brother Rashad. Go right ahead, dear. It's all yours. Spotlight is on you, my dear.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Forrest, for having us on your podcast. We really appreciate it. And thank you for that beautiful introduction. It always makes me smile when I think of how we met, and that's a beautiful thing. And I want to introduce my co-host. First, we have relationship expert and life coach, Jada. And then in addition to that, I have ordained minister of the gospel and published author, Deborah. And first I'll have Deborah lead us in a short prayer.
All right. So, Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come here on this platform that this gentleman has so graciously provided for us to share information and experiences that we pray will be a blessing to the hearers that are here today. God, we pray that every word that proceeds out of our mouth is a word that's been ordained by you and that it brings healing and restoration for the hearers of the word. And so we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And now Jada will give us a definition of our subject.
Narcissistic personality disorder is a condition in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, and a lack of empathy for others. Some of the signs are A person who has a sense of entitlement and requires constant, excessive admiration, they expect to be recognized as superior even when their achievements don't warrant it. They're preoccupied with fantasies about success, power, brilliance, beauty, or the perfect mate. They believe that they are superior and can only associate with equally special people. They tend to monopolize conversations and belittle or look down on people they feel are inferior. They will take advantage of other people to get what they want. They have an inability and unwillingness to recognize the needs and feelings of others. And they believe they envy other people, and they believe that other people envy them. And I think when you find someone, or if you look inside yourself, and you see where several of these descriptors can be applied to you, it gives you something to think about. As we go forward with this conversation, I want to make sure we lay the groundwork. Our plan and our process is to provide an opportunity for open, honest discussion. And we call this a space for grace because there is no judgment, there is no shame. We are coming together to share information, to talk about situations and circumstances that have hurt us, and then to talk about how we can heal through this process. So our goal is to build a community where we can support each other and share our stories in the hopes of helping other people heal. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Karen.
Okay. Thank you, Jada. I think that was a wonderful description and a perfect segue into my story. I met this gentleman. I was very young, and he was too. We were at college. He had been there, and I had just transferred in from a junior college. I met him. He was charming. He was confident. And with my personality, those things are draws for me. I'm pretty self-assured, so I'm attracted to someone who is self-assured and confident. The first year that we talked, it was beautiful. He called every night. He made me feel like, you know, he was very attentive. And, of course, anyone thrives off of that kind of attention. But then the second year, there was a difference. I noticed there was a difference. He would point out flaws in me. Like I remember he gave me a nickname, and it wasn't, at the time, I'm like 5'6", and I weighed probably about 140 pounds. And so he called me Pudgy, and that, you know, it's not a flattering name. And I've always worked on my weight, but I noticed that, you know, that wasn't flattering. But, of course, he said, oh, that's just, you're not fat. You're just, you know, pudgy. And it was supposed to make it seem like it was just his little nickname for me. But it wasn't a flattering nickname. And then I noticed he would point out other flaws, but always in a joking way. So, you know, and then if I would get upset, he's like, you just get upset over nothing, you know, that kind of thing. And then I noticed he started flirting a lot. Well, there would be parties at the school, and a lot of times his fraternity would be hosting those parties. And so, and he would say, well, you know, I have to be a host. I have to engage with everyone in the party. And that, you know, kind of made sense, but it was a little over the top. And then that's where the gaslighting would come in, because he would always justify his behavior. And the only way that I could get him to understand how his behavior would make me feel is if I said, well, what if the roles were reversed? And I don't know if that, if he really, I don't think he really ever understood how it made me feel. I think part of it is that they really don't care how their behavior makes you feel. And so after that, and like in the middle of the second year that we dated, I had had enough. It was too much. And so I, and I think part of it is that I'm from a pretty close-knit family, and I was, my parents were there, my brother and sister, but my family was going through a crisis at the time. And they, my family was absorbed in that crisis. And so I didn't have their attention like I normally would have. And then I thought about, well, why didn't I reach out to the friends that I had made at the school? But at the time, the first year, I did have quite a few friends. But that second year, the two people that I was closest to had left the school. And so I didn't have the close friends that I had friends, but not anyone that I would have confided in, because Clyde just wouldn't have allowed me to do that. And so I just became I feel like I was grieving the relationship even before I decided that it was over. I was grieving basically what we used to have. And then sometimes when I think back on it and when I've done some research on it, because at the time I've never heard of a narcissist. I never had. And I didn't know the traits. I didn't know any of that. All I knew was that this relationship wasn't feeling like I felt like it should. And so I, instead of going through it anymore, I just decided to leave. I felt embarrassed because, like I said, he maybe hadn't dated, but he flirted with other girls like I wasn't even there. And so I felt embarrassed and humiliated. I felt weak, like I had brought this on myself. And I left and moved away from the little town and found myself in Houston, Texas. And so that is basically my story. If this had happened now, you know, I could have Googled on, you know, this whole discussion of narcissism and narcissistic personality disorder. It has always been there, but I didn't know about it. And so that's what prompted me to reach out to the other people, telling them my story, listening to some of the research that others have done. And then when you talk about it, there's a lot of people that have been through it. But I didn't have the benefit of that when I was younger. And because it took me so long to get through it, to move through the situation, I decided that if there was anything I could do to help even just one person navigate this type of relationship, then I would do that. And so that's how this little group began. So Deborah has done some research on the subject. So, Deborah, would you like to share some of your research with us at this time?
Yes. So let me say also, as Jada actually pointed out early, that this is, of course, from a standpoint of trying to be helpful, and even as you said, Karen, to try to be helpful so that if anyone can benefit from the experiences. I will say that the prompting of the research that I've done, actually came from a standpoint that I wasn't expecting it. And the research actually was to help others, but it was also to help myself. I found myself in situations, and there's been more than one, but one particular situation that really threw me for a loop. And I will say this, that I do, based on the research I've done, find that there were a lot of qualities that could be associated with narcissistic behavior. And so one of those qualities I found was, first of all, there was a lot of, in the very beginning, there was a lot of admiration even inflicted towards me. You know, I didn't see it coming. And the term that I've found is that it was a love bombing. Everything, like you're the most wonderful thing, even since sliced bread, really, if you listen to these conversations. And the thing about it is that I believe most people want to be admired to some extent. And so you want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel like other people are even interested in you. And so to hear all these wonderful things about yourself, if you're not careful, you can fall into a trap for that. I will say that that was the initial, a lot of, you know, just flattery. Let me just say it that way. A lot of great flattery came into play. And so for me, what happened is that, and the other thing is that there were some things that were happening in my life at the same time that left me vulnerable to the flattery. There were some things, some doors that were open that if they were closed, I would have probably caught on quicker to what was going on. So that was the initial stage. And Karen mentioned that it was about a year for her. It was a very quick process for me, very quick. As a matter of fact, I actually clocked the days, and it was less than 90 days from start to end. And so after the initial love bombing, then there came some subtle devaluation, similar to what you said with the nickname, just little things that you kind of let go. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not really the way someone should talk to someone that they have any type of connection with, or that they feel a certain way about. But I kind of let it go because I also was still remembering the initial phase where I was better than sliced bread. And so those things started coming on a more regular basis, I would say. And then we got to the point where I realized that when I was either in conversation or in company with this person, that their language and their behavior left me feeling drained, unworthy, and devalued. It really pulled away from me. And I also noticed that it seemed as if they gained strength or it validation by devaluing me, because one of the things that Jada said in the beginning with the description is about the self-importance. So there, and I'll give you an example. There was something that I thought was a really simple thing. So this was a person, this particular instance that I'm talking about was a person that I worked with. And someone had changed their title in the directory, and they were very upset about this title change that, you know, that the person made. And I made the comment, I was like, yeah, I don't know who did that, but someone had changed my title as well. Someone changed my title in the directory. And then the comment was, well, your title isn't as high as this title that I have. And I was like, what? Like, how was that necessary to belittle me to raise yourself up? you know.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to share that. And Karen, if I may at this time, I also, or maybe we'll come back to this, but I'd also like at some point to share some of the things that helped me to move from the beginning to the end of this with this narcissistic person.
I think this is a good time to share what helped you move forward.
Okay. So you mentioned at the beginning that I am a minister. And so everything that I do in life really centers around my belief that God can help me through every situation. But let me tell you this. When you've had a blow, like the quick blow that I got from someone that has this personality or these traits, what I found was that everything that I knew about God and knew how to do, I didn't even have the strength to do it. I was in a position where there was shame on my part by even allowing myself to get into the situation where I was. So I couldn't call on certain people to let them know that I was in this situation. Karen actually, because Karen and I actually have known each other for a long time as well, she's one of the few people that I was able to confide some of this information with her. And so every single day as I was struggling through this, I felt literally like I was almost in a prison or in a pit. I would get up and I would do everything that I need to do to take care of the day, but my mind constantly went back to the person, although I knew that they were not good for me. I knew that their behavior it would change back and forth. You know, some days it would be like it was in the beginning, and then even within one day I would see several different changes within a day. And so my mind tried to make these things make sense. But I will say this, that if someone, from my research, if someone is actually suffering from a narcissistic personality disorder, then it's a disordered way that they operate. So it can't make sense to someone that doesn't operate that way. And then the other thing is that I realized, you know, that I faulted myself. I blamed myself a lot for that. I had a lot of shame and guilt that was centered around it. And I felt like I just couldn't get out. And so here's what I did, and I'll make this short. Here's what I did for myself. I started to read the Bible. And I just started to read the Bible and just read scripture. You know, I would read it, and not only would I read it, I started to read it and record it, and then I posted it on social media. That's all I did. I posted it on social media, and I started out reading, I believe it was in the book of Psalms. And when I would read the scripture would sound like it was a story directly to me. It was a love story directly to me. And so I just kept doing that each day. And I cannot say that I really realized until after the fact, the very day that it was the first day that I had went an entire day without feeling like I was in a pit. And so I continued to do that. And so at the point that I made the realization, I realized that, and, you know, I know everyone doesn't have the same faith here, but I do know this, that in the Bible it says that we are washed by the wording of the word. And so as I continued to use the word, which is the Bible, which is the scripture, it gave me a cleansing. And with that cleansing came a sense of healing and a sense of restoration. And so that's the story that I would like to share with you here today. I can say that I've also, now that narcissism is out in the general public in terms of people having some information about it and there being research that's been done, et cetera, I can say that I've probably dealt with people with that behavior more than I would care to know, male and female, because it's not confined to romantic relationships. It really isn't. And so that's what I'd like to share with you and the audience here today.
Thank you, Deborah. I appreciate that. Jada, Forrest, do you have any callers?
I'm here. Hold on. I'm going to ask my technician, Karen. Hey, Jay, do we have any callers hitting the number one button yet? Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, out there, you have to hit the number one button and be patient. That doesn't mean because you hit the number one button, it says you are now in the Hue Cube. You have to be patient, and then my technician will call the last four numbers of your cell phone. So, Jay, anybody hit number one yet? Because we got a lot of listeners on so far. Hold on for 1 second.
Okay.
Anything up there, Jay? Hold on for a minute. Jay, you there?
While we're waiting, I just want to say, Deborah, thank you so much for sharing your story and that information. I think that often when we are going through things, we feel isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And the guilt, the shame prevents us from reaching out to other people. One of the things that I hope this format will allow is for people to feel like they are not going through this alone and that there are other people out there willing to share and open up to provide information. Now, Karen, when you
excuse me.
You got somebody?
Sorry about that. Yeah, we got a caller. I was trying to patch him in. 0949, you on the line?
Okay, hold on. Hey, Jay, hold on before they come on. That was Jada talking, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Jada, I apologize because I was backstage. I was waiting for Jada to say something, and next thing I know, I heard you talking. So, okay, so, just, hey, Jada, you can start from the beginning. Just hold on because Karen asked you, did anybody punch in yet, and you can start from the beginning. I apologize, Jada. Hold on. Okay, so let's bring in the person that has the question for either Minister Deborah or Karen. Go right ahead.
You want the person that's calling in, 0949?
Yeah, let's hear what they have to say. We're going to start them.
You got a couple of people. We'll start off with 0949. You on the line?
0949. Hello?
0949.
You must have got cold feet. 0949, going once, going twice. Hello, do you want to make a comment or ask a question from our guests?
Yeah, I guess they not.
Maybe they got cold feet. Okay, what about somebody else, Jay?
Let's try, 1 second. Let's try to bring in somebody else. Let me take them off. 5392, you on the line.
Yeah, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir,
this is Dr. James. How you doing? Yeah, I was
Brother
listening
James.
To the lady speaking, and you know what? Throughout my life, I've known people like that, and I've known so many, you know, people that had those similar personality traits. I thought that was just normal. I never knew that this was actually a mental disorder. It's very interesting. And especially if someone is married and then you find out they have this disorder, because it becomes much more difficult, especially if you have a family or whatever. But there are many people with this type of disorder. Now, what type of treatment can you give them?
So they would have to talk to a psychologist. And the thing is, what I have found is with this particular disorder, normally when you talk to a psychologist, it is because you believe that you have a problem. But the nature of this problem keeps them from getting the help that they need. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they deny it. It's just... People just assume that's part of their personality. And that's what I'm saying. I think throughout my youth and my adulthood, I've dealt with and ran into people with those types of personality. We call it just their personality. but they could have had that this they could have disorder. We didn't know what to call it. We just said this is how they are. You know?
Yeah, just difficult people. That's what we call them, difficult. But they say that with counseling that yes, they can get help, but it is difficult at best. But it is not impossible. It is not impossible.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for your call.
Thank you,
so,
sir. Karen, let me see if we got somebody else. I'm just going to check with the technician. If not, we're going to bring Jada back. She can start from the beginning. Jay, we got anybody else?
We got a couple. We got a couple of people.
Okay, let's bring them on. Hold on, Jada. We're going to get you there. You got time. Say the best for last. Uh-oh, I shouldn't have said that. Karen's listening.
I agree.
7326, you're on the line.
Okay. Hi, this is Deborah. Steve and Teddy Vaughn, Miss Karen, Miss Jada, and Minister Deborah. I hope I got the order right. But my question is, and thank you guys for sharing the information and Miss Karen, your story. So I just basically wanted to know, like, do you guys feel that, like, the narcissistic person, do they set out as, you know, to find someone as prey, if you will? You know, are they just going after anybody, or do they particularly look for someone that they can, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, people, some people go after somebody, you know.
I love this question because one of the, this is Karen, and I love this question, caller, because I always thought that I was picked for my weaknesses, but that is not true. The narcissist picks you because they come off as being very confident, but they are not really confident. So they pick you for your characteristics that are great characteristics. Like they pick a person with the, you know what, I almost like to call them emotional vampires. You know how a vampire feeds off of their victim's blood? The narcissist feeds off of the things that you have, the positive characteristics that you have that they don't have. So they are attracted to the things that are your best qualities.
Right.
So they're that, and so that is how they don't. I don't think that the narcissist knows. They don't think of you as a victim. They just think of you as somebody that they're trying to talk to. But they're gonna pick. If you're in a room, they're gonna pick the prettiest girl in the room. They're gonna pick the one with the most magnetic personality. They're gonna pick the one that's the most sympathetic. That is what they need. That is what they want.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
No. Yes, it does. So I was just wondering, do they already have their prey lined up? So you answered it very well. Thank you, ladies, so much. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Karen, this is Deborah. I'd like to just add, if I may, just a brief statement about that. With her question about whether they pick their prey, I will tell you in my situation that I did find that I had been studied for months. I had been studied for months. And so after that studying, they like Karen said, they'll look for, because their sense of grandiose, their sense of importance is that, of course, they would have the best of everything. And so they find the grandest thing in you and target you. And what they use is information that they obtain from your study. Now, whether it's that they study you in advance or as you go along, but they will use it against you. And then the other thing which I found is that the very traits that you'll have, you will actually often have them imitate those traits. like there was certain language that I was using that I found that they started using the same words. And I was like, wait a minute, that's what I said. So as Karen talks about the vampire, it's like sucking everything good out of you. And it's just, I don't mean to laugh because it is not funny, but it is incredible. And so, and they do look for empathetic personalities, folks that have feeling, because what they're lacking, the folks with empathy have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Thank you,
Deborah. Thank you, Ms. Deborah. Yes, I know Deborah. She's a beautiful person, and she's a very religiously prone person too. She's in the church, very heavy. So, thank you, Mr. Boyle, for calling. She's a good friend of mine, you know. Yeah. Jay, anybody else we got on for the ladies to ask a question?
8133, you live.
8133, speak your piece.
Hey, how y'all doing this evening?
Peace and blessings, brother.
Right on, brother. I know Miss Karen personally. And she invited me to this podcast a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about narcissistic relationships, and I said, you know, looked at the research, I said, I think I might be one. And I was kind of in my chair tonight cringing because that story that she told, and I want her to tell me that wasn't me, baby.
No, sir. No, sir, that was not.
I was close, you know, but hey, man, I'm glad y'all let we talking about back in the late 70s when I first met her and she moved from New Jersey to Texas, and it was a crazy relationship. But, I told her the other day that something popped up on Facebook that a person that doesn't really want to be in a relationship, but he wants that person with him at all time. That's probably the great definition of a narcissist. But this has been a great open discussion. All the panel members, I'm looking at football and listening to this too, but I paid more attention to this than I have to the TV. So I'm glad you acknowledged me. And Karen, this is a great thing you're doing. And the brother with the podcast, appreciate you. Hope all
Thank
y'all
you,
have a happy and prosperous. Yes, sir. Happy and prosperous new year, and everyone stay blessed.
Thank you. Hey, brother, before you leave, where you calling from?
Fort Polk, Louisiana, man.
Oh, you're in Louisiana?
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Okay.
I retired from the military here. I've been here like 12 years in Louisiana, and I got some buddies want to know how to, you know, get on the airwaves and do some things. But like I got Miss Karen, and my name is Everett Gardner, by the way. And I used to be commercial radio 30 years ago, did that on and off, and I still do some dabbling, you know, on the media thing. So, yes, sir. So,
well, you got that radio voice.
Man, I used to do it, but this has been informative. Karen, you are doing great things. You know, anything you need from me, you can holler. And this, the doctor, I call Dr. Vader, Dr. Jada. Hey, doctor, you all over, because I told Karen, I'm going to challenge that doctor, but I ain't finna do that.
Thank you, sir.
thank you for calling, brother. And don't make this your last time. Listen, because we have guests come on every week, man. We cover different things, man.
Okay, is the number that I dial in still the same?
Yeah, the number will be the same every Saturday. All you got to do is just dial, bust open that bag of popcorn with some apple juice, and just listen, brother.
I got you, brother. So I got it locked in. And this is going to be part of my Saturday routine, man. This is deep. I like it.
I appreciate it, brother.
Peace, my man.
Peace to you, too.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Everett.
Hey, Jay, anybody else for the ladies?
Let me try. Hold on. Let me check this 1 second.
Okay, because I know Jay, the
9081,
you're up.
9081 is here, and really taking a moment to say thank you for your podcast to Karen. we actually graduated together. I'll tell you who I am later. And I'm saying that because I am truly walking through a narcissistic divorce as we speak. And I thought I would just share a profile. I know some people want to know, like, you know, what is this personality all about? What I've learned and what I've found is that they do this fact-finding thing, and I know, Deborah, you mentioned it. Just give me a second, because
yeah,
it's really my life
something.
Right now. Oh, yeah, they do the homework. So they do their research. So I'm a real nice, kind, forgiving person. Again, without telling my name, this person knows that I've been raped, that I had a gun at my head at one point. They take all of this information. They build their own profile against you. And when the time comes after loving you, they do the opposite. I say that because this person knows that I didn't go to college. He did go to college. He has a master's degree. I actually made $50,000 more than him on today. What is he asking for? After telling me he can't even have a conversation with me because our educational backgrounds are so vastly different. And the morning he said that while laying in bed without a job, and I had to go and head to work. At the same time, we're going through this divorce right now. I make $50,000 more than him, and he wants alimony.
Sister, we will be praying for you. We will be praying
thank
for
you.
And
thank
you.
I trust.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I trust you somebody. Yeah. So no, seriously. I know that I'm gonna be okay. I know what I believe in. I know what I trust in. I know who's watching over me. I already see the answers to this situation. I live in the house with this individual. Experienced something on Christmas Eve night that I will not discuss right now. Verbal abuse is huge with the narcissist. Emotional abuse is huge with the narcissist. And I know a lot of times we think more sexual and physical abuse when it comes to any form of abuse, but know that you have to have your guard up. It's sad because, like Karen said, you go a whole year of being primed, right? This person is loving on you. They're doing all the things that you have told them you either want or you need. And then all of a sudden, everything changes. So he was totally embarrassed that his divorce papers were served to him on the job. A narcissist will say to you, you served me on my job. And I'm like, yes. But that was after two attempts to serve you at 6 o'clock in the morning when you changed your work schedule. But he could never even consider that I tried to do things a different way so not to embarrass him. And instead, he'll just focus on the way it really did go down. Can they really heal? I don't think so. And I don't think so because their level of empathy and their level of caring for anyone is like flatline. They don't care. They really don't. And when they can't get what they can't get from you anymore, they will go and find a supply somewhere else. If it's not in the home, it'll be outside the home. It'll be on their job. This person stands in the pulpit on Sunday mornings. He is the general manager on his job. And it doesn't matter as long as they get their supply in a relationship, in a work environment, in families. I've seen letters to family members that love him, and he's called them the scum of the earth. And yet their blood and their love for this person goes right back to being what it is as siblings and as family. I would just caution everyone to really focus on being your true self, and when you realize that you're in a narcissistic relationship, be careful in trying to just separate from that individual because their anger truly increases, and the more we continue to combat them in words or anything, it'll just continue to grow. I'm learning to be quiet, and I'm learning that no contact with this person is the best way to handle them. I just wanted to share. That was kind of difficult for me to do because, like I said, it is my real-life situation right now. But I thank you guys.
I hear it in your voice. I thank you for sharing because I believe that we all are overcome by the power of our testimony. So I thank you for giving yours. We'll be praying for you while you're in this situation and pulling yourself out of it. I feel very confident that you will. I can hear it in your voice that you will come out of it. And you're absolutely right. The thing that you said about the college degree, that was something that mine said to me, because I did not graduate. This person did go on to graduate. And I can remember he said to me, I could never marry someone that hadn't graduated from college. And then years later, he denied having said that. But then when I pieced things together, I found out the reason why he had said that, because the person that came after me was a college graduate. And so it's all situational. You know, what you will do and what you won't do, it all depends on who the next one is. And so, but I do appreciate your calling in, for sharing your story with us. We do appreciate it. And someone will benefit from that. I know that someone will benefit. So thank you for your sacrifice.
And Karen, I just want to say something real fast. Miss Lady, whoever you are out there who's a friend of Karen, please stay in contact with Karen. Because when I talk to Karen off this line, all right, it's nice. Because her and I, we have very nice conversations. So she's a very grounded woman after going through her episodes in life, which we all do. We all go through chapters in life, you know. Like I said, I made my share of mistakes, all right. But thank you for calling and sharing that, because there's a lot of ladies out there like that, all right. So thank you once again for calling.
Can I just say this?
Sure, go ahead.
There are definitely a lot of ladies, but the reverse as well. I have actually been in conversation with a few men who are also going through something very similar. So, let's keep everybody in prayer, actually. Thank you.
Yeah, Karen did mention that to me, by the way, Minister Deborah. She said that she found out through her research it's men as well as women. So, guys, y'all better not text me and call me tomorrow. Farsh, you forgot about us. No, I didn't forget. I'm just saying, you know, you're right about that in that analogy. So thank you for calling, ma'am. And like I said, stay strong, hang strong, you know. Jay, we got anybody else for the panel? Because I know Ms. Jada is fixing board to say something. All right, next caller,
Hold
Jay.
Hold on one second.
I'm going to have to bring you ladies back, boy. Wow, y'all bringing them out tonight, boy.
One,
y'all know y'all coming back.
1224, you live.
Hello, my name is Nakia, calling from D.C. And my question kind of goes on what the lady before me just said at the end. I always hear about men being narcissists, and I'm pretty sure there are women out there too. But what I wanted to know is, are their personality traits different between a man and a woman narcissists?
Good question.
And I'll start, and then Deborah and Karen, if you want to jump in. I think that the traits are the same. How they are exhibited may be different. And so the feelings of grandeur, while a man may exhibit that with his title, his presence in the community, a woman may do that with her image, how she looks, her connections. So, for example, who she knows. But the behavior, the feelings of grandiosity, the lack of empathy, the exaggerated sense of self-importance, the basic trait is the same, whether it's a male or a female. And you can be in a relationship with a narcissist that is family-related. It can be a parent or a guardian. It can be an employer. The behavior exists across the human spectrum. And so I personally don't see a difference in the traits. There may be a difference in how they're exhibited. Karen or Deborah, do you want to add anything?
You know, Jaina, the interesting part is that just recently I had a gentleman that I know, and actually he was the person that directed me to research regarding narcissistic personality disorder. And I didn't know at the time, he shared with me later, but he was in the middle of a relationship with a narcissist. And I actually knew both of them, but I was only hearing one side of the story at that point. And when he shared some of the things that were happening with him, I mean, they used the same techniques. It's interesting that it's a disorder, but it's a disorder that follows patterns. it was the same types of patterns, you know, in the beginning, this whole love bombing and then gaslighting, you know, saying things that they would legitimately just deny that they ever said. I mean, and then not only that, one of the things that we had mentioned before, and I believe the young lady that was on earlier that talked about her situation where she's going through a divorce right now can probably attest to this, is that they will probably try to return, if you will, to the scene of the crime. Like after doing all of these dirty things, they'll come back and behave as if these devastating things haven't happened. From what I understand in relationships, they tend to not be people that would be in committed relationships, if you will. Like they'll be married. They may have a partner, but they also seek that gratification outside of one person. They're always seeking, and she used this word, they're always seeking a supply because your scene is just a means to an end, whether that's to make them feel better, provide something for them financially, give them a connection, whatever it is. They are just draining you for whatever you have. And so, yeah, that gentleman, he had the same story. It was just through a female. And as you mentioned, her validation, her grandiose was in her beauty, her physical beauty. She spent money to make sure that she was the most beautiful person. But on the inside, we saw something very different.
Yeah, that reminds me of that song, by the way, Beauty's Only Skin Deep. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Jay, we got him. Thank you for that call, caller. Jay, anybody else for the panel?
One second. 2663.
I'm here.
Okay, go right ahead, dear.
Good evening. I just wanted to applaud the lady that came forward and told how she had been treated and what she's going through. That takes a lot within itself. You could hear the fear in the words that she spoke and the way that she spoke them. My words are to her, hang in there. You will get through this in spite of. God is a great God. And there's nothing that he can't handle for you. Just hang in there, hang on, keep going forward, do not look back, and you will be okay. You're very fearless in your fear. You have something there that some people have to dig way deep, and they have to go through a lot to get to what they got. And you have that, and that is what is going to bring you through. You will get through this. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yes, it is. Jay, any more calls out there for the ladies?
Well, Forrest, while we're waiting for Jay, I just want to say, Thank you for giving us this time, this space for grace. And I want to thank Jada and Deborah for their time. And I want to thank all of the ladies that called in and Everett. I want to thank everyone that called in for sharing that time with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure. I'm just trying to find if we got any more calls. Of course, we have to let Jada conclude. Hey, Jay, anybody else on there? Any more callers?
Yes, sir. Hold on.
Okay. And also, fam, I just want to let you know, but my technician will break it down for you. He'll let you know. And Jay, I want you to break it down to the crowd. If you have certain phones, my technician made me aware that there's a merger going on. Not a merger, but there's a war going on between companies. And now they're charging people. All right, if you have a certain carrier to come on this line, I think it's like a penny a minute because I just talked to Brother Leon. So, family, if you got a landline at home, they shouldn't charge you. That's what I'm listening to right now. I have my home phone, okay? But people are, once again, corporate is greedy. They want every little, you talk about Dracula. They're blood suckers. Every little penny they get, they charge his brother a penny a minute to come on here, you know. But that's what corporations do. We talk about that on the podcast now. But anyway, back to my technician, Brother Jay.
Yeah, 8315, you live.
Greetings to the podcast family. I want to thank you guys for this topic. It's fairly new to me, but I was here thinking that as some of the ladies were speaking and sharing their story, I said, oh, my gosh, we dated the same guy. But then it was when you guys said the year, I said, okay, no, it's not possible. But I really appreciate this dialogue because so many people have matter of fact, so many people have not only shared some stuff about narcissists with me, but I remember coming across a millennial, and they were telling me so much things about a narcissist, and I just didn't know that there were so much traits, and you can have a narcissistic boss, a narcissistic pastor, a narcissistic, and there were so many elements that they were sharing with me. But one of the things that stood out to me in what they said is what I wanted to ask the panel this evening. And are any of you empaths? Because that was one of the biggest things that I found, that narcissists are attracted to empaths. Thank you.
Are you saying people that are empathetic?
Correct. But they're actual empaths. I think that's the proper name for it. But yes, ma'am. That would be correct.
Okay. Then I would say that you take it all in. You know, you not only feel for the other person, but you immerse yourself in what they're feeling and what they're going through.
Yeah.
This is Deborah. I will say that I don't identify as an empath, but I know I'm very empathetic. And so the issue is that even as you're being hurt, then you're, well, I'll speak for myself. Even as I was being hurt, I was feeling bad for the other person, because if you can treat someone like that or need to treat someone like that to feel better, what a terrible state you must live in every day. And so I found that to be kind of difficult, you know, and I think that probably hindered the progress of just cutting it sooner than I did. Yeah, you feel sorry for people that are mistreating you.
yeah. I would like to just add that I'm not gonna say that I know what an empath is, but I know that I have tested high for empathy. In fact, it's one of my spiritual gifts. So, and I am the oldest in my family. And so I always had that, caring for, you care for your siblings. And, yeah, so I would say that's one of the things that they look for. And it's one
Thank
of the
you.
Things that I have.
Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you for calling. Appreciate you.
Thank you for calling. Yeah. I hope that answered your question.
It did. We just use our words differently, but yes, we're saying the same thing, and you're answering right. It all makes sense. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling, caller. Yeah. Jay, anybody else?
You're welcome.
After this next one, we're going to let Ms. Jada come on. Okay,
One second. 2029, you're live.
Hi, I'm calling from California. I just want to say thank you all for having this meeting today. Gee, I wish I would have heard this 10 years ago. But I want to say I have overcome, and it wasn't easy. But what got me through was the word. And what else got me through was that God sent people around me to help me process through the hurt and the pain. I think narcissists, these things that you're saying, I didn't really understand it then, but they prey on the wonderful things about you. And one of the mm-hmm. wonderful things about me is that I am empathetic. So I mm-hmm. just wanted to share anyone that's experiencing or going through, probably tell I'm still a little emotional because it was a journey mm-hmm. Getting through that. You will get to the other side. Keep believing and knowing that those things that that person told you are not true. You know who you are. Mm-hmm. And God mm-hmm. has some special gifts inside of you. And you got to let those things come out and share. And I just wanted to share because I believe that he allowed me an opportunity to experience so that I could be on this call today and say, you will overcome. And you will smile and you will laugh and you will be grateful. And you will look at that person and say, I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to walk away.
Amen. Amen.
So,
thank you, Carla. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you for calling in. Yes. Okay, so you know what, family? If we got any more callers, we're gonna chime in on them after Ms. Jada speaks and says what she needs to say on it because she's part of the panel too, family out there. So without further ado, Ms. Jada, if you could start from the beginning, appreciate having you on. If we got any more callers asking, want to ask questions, we'll bring them in after you finish.
Okay. I just wanted to emphasize the fact that, you know, as the last caller said, healing is possible. And it's important to forgive yourself, to learn to love yourself, and to believe in the good that is inside of you. So often we give so much away that we don't remember to be kind, tender, and show ourselves some grace. And so my hope is that throughout these conversations, people will recognize that they are worthy, that they will see themselves as the beautiful, amazing human beings that God created them to be, and that they will know that there is a support system out there, that once you get centered and once you realize your worth, you will no longer give access to people that will drain the good out of you, that will use and abuse your kindness, tender with your heart. And I am hopeful that as we go forward with this year, that people will begin to recognize their worth, strengthen their confidence in their ability to survive and thrive, and that they will begin to see and draw to them like-minded people that will support them and help them to elevate to the next level. And Barb, thank you so much for providing this platform. I do have one question. I got a couple texts from people that said that they were having trouble getting into the call. Is there a way that they can link in from your Facebook page?
I don't know what happened, Jada.
Yeah. But I want to thank all the people that are listening. I want to thank all the people that called in. I'm grateful that we had an opportunity to open, to share, and to provide this sense of community because we are not walking this walk alone. And our experiences, our thoughts, our feelings can be beneficial to someone else. And I fully respect and appreciate the honesty of the people on the panel and also the people that called in.
Okay. That was quick, Jada. I was backstage from it. Jada finished already? I thought Jada had at least 15 minutes in her. No, but, you know, Jada's been on my podcast before and they loved her, you know. But now we got three the hard way here. I don't know who Fred... I don't know who Jim, I don't know who the two Jims are and the Freds are, but y'all coming back, I would appreciate you. And I just want to say, on behalf of Grown Folks Talking, especially, we appreciate you coming. You're not going nowhere because now we have people that probably want to ask you a question or, you know, just throw a little something in there, you know, because, but before, I want to address my podcast audience to say that if you have friends out there, all right, and if this is your first time calling, I want to say thank you. Don't let this be your last time. In case you have a friend that might be working tonight or somewhere else, you can go on my Facebook page and you can always hit the link and hear a rebroadcast of this podcast. My man will have it up first thing tomorrow morning through the whole week. My name is Forrest, like the trees in the woods. That movie Forrest Gump, about the Gump, Forrest. Last name, Nance. N is in nut, A is in apple, N is in nut, C is in Charlie, E is in Edwards. Podcast family, we always tell you, whenever you come into this podcast, not Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, or Elmer Fudd Cartoon Network, we discuss things that nourish the mind and hopefully spiritually uplift you. Because in the world we're living in today, okay, we all need to be inspired by the word of the Most High, whoever you may call him, God, Yahweh, Allah, Jehovah, whatever. The Most High is what, when I say the Most High, people know what I'm talking about, okay? And like I said, I never debate religion, never do. Your belief is your belief. Malcolm X once said, put your religion in the closet and let's get to the root cause of our problems, okay? So the only thing I'm saying to y'all, you guys out there, I'm going to bring my technician in, and he's going to explain to you now, because I don't want you guys to feel frustrated when you're trying to call in, and then guess what? You can't get through, and you're thinking it's your phone. It's not your phone. It's these blood-sucking, money-hungry corporations, all right? So, Jay, can you tell the people what you know about these phones, about if they can't get in, what they can do, hit the link or whatever?
Basically, well, I sent the email out, and they reached back out to me and said that it's a problem with the, I believe it's the Metro or the Metro POS or the T-Mobiles. They're having some kind of, I don't know if it's a bidding war or what's going on, but you know, like you said a few minutes ago, it's all, no matter what, it's always about the dollar bill. So what if somebody, like you said earlier, you can either call in from a landline, a house phone, or you can still hear the podcast. If you go to Forrest's page, you can still hear it. It'll be up on his page if you want to hear it again tomorrow or the day after that or the day after that. It'll still be available. But until they rectify this, whatever is going on, if you call in and you can't get through, probably the best thing would be is to try to call in from a landline phone or have somebody else call in on a three-way who can get through until they get this problem straight. And then, because it's been going on for about a month now, I think. And like you said, Paul, it's about the dollar bill.
Of course. It always is with corporate. They don't care about us. It's all about money. And how that song used to go? It's all about money and a damn thing funny. And that's what it's all about. Family, I also want to let you know, my man Jay, all right, he's the technician here. He has his program on Friday nights. Called the same number. It's called Keeping It Real with Jay. He had a gentleman that's been incarcerated. He committed a crime when he was 17. And at 17, we do a lot of stupid things, some worse than others. But the brother is trying to get out, and he's looking for legal help. And the brother's 34 now, you know. And he just told a telling story last night. But then again, we're all familiar with Latino and black youth being incarcerated, and disproportionately, most of us are in the jail. So more so than whatever the case may be. You already know about mass incarceration, all right? Don't get me started because I ain't getting on my political points yet, all right? And, yes, our current president, all right, along with Bill Clinton, yes, signed the mass incarceration bill, all right? And they came – Clinton came under fire and got mad to my, hey, how about – how would you like it if a crackhead attacked your mama? Hey, Bill, guess what? We don't fly it in this country. Get to the root cause. That's why Rashad Alameen and Brother Michael, who are coming on next, are going to say something. Panel, please, don't leave. Ladies, don't leave now. I'm not a chauvinist. Brother Jay, are Rashad and Brother Leon and also Brother Michael, are they unmuted now?
I believe
can
Rashad,
you hear me?
Rashad, Brother Rashad,
yeah.
Is.
Rashad, are you there, brother?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Is Brother Michael there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. Brother Leon, are you there?
One second.
Okay.
I believe he's in there now.
Oh, he's in. Okay, Brother Leon, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Brother, can you hear me?
All right, y'all. Okay, ladies, now I got my team. All right, now it's game on. Okay. Listen, if any of you brothers got anything you want to say to the ladies up there, go right ahead.
I definitely got something to say real quick. Well, you know, it's never quick with us. first of all, I want to make a disclosure. I have somebody else on the line with me on the third-party line. Her name is Miss Winter Harmon. She is the reason why I am a part of the conscious community. She was my teacher. She teaches me. And sometimes I don't know if she's sorry she did that because she's created a monster. You know, all I can say about this today is that this was powerful. It was very, very, very powerful. I want to say to all the queens that's on this podcast that went through being with an individual like that is that you are better queen than you was before you met them, and you are better queen now when you was with them, and you are a better queen now because you made it through being with them. That's as strong as it gets when you be with a person that's a manipulator like that, and you're still here to tell your story. Now I'm getting ready to get myself in trouble. The young lady, one of the young ladies who told her story, you can hear the emotion in her voice. I know, I don't know what your name is. I know every last one of y'all know what I'm talking about. I would love to hook you up with the board. And I know I'm getting myself in trouble by saying that and doing that. But you would need to link up with the board also. This right here on this line is a sisterhood. I don't want to go into the consciousness because I can go so deep into this consciousness. We'll be on this phone all night, and I know we don't have it. I do want to ask the sisters a question. I don't know if the person that I have on wants to speak or not. She's very shy, but very powerful, believe me. The one, you know, I had a lot of questions, but because the panel was so much that came on, every last one of my questions got answered. I only have two questions for each one of the females who went through this, and I have a one question, and I didn't understand you. One of the females, I'm not talking about, I don't have the names. I don't want to say the names and get them wrong. Karen, Deborah, and Jada. Not you three. You didn't ask the question. It was a question from one of the females that was talking, and she made reference to two common denominators. I just need to know what those two things were, what they meant. I didn't understand what they meant. And then my question to any one of you, all of you that's been through that, is I would like to know do they come physical? Did any one of them come physical? Because the lady who spoke and was talking, and you can hear her pain, to me it was a little bit deeper. And I'm telling you, sister, and the rest of you queens that's on here, y'all queens, you made it through. It doesn't matter to me what your belief system is. I'm not religious, but I'm conscious, spiritual. But you made it through. Y'all have always been here since the beginning. And if you ask me, Most High, the creator of all things, made y'all first. That's just what I believe. I believe that God could have been a woman, not a man, a woman. And so without, you know, going too far into that, I just want to know, are these people physical with the abuse, with the emotional attack? And, you know, it's funny because when I hear this, it makes it bad for the rest of the kings out here that's not like that. And you have to understand something, you queens that's on this line that have been through this. Look what they had to go through to get through y'all. Look what they had to study y'all in order to get to y'all. That should tell you something about yourselves right there. And the worst part for them is that y'all still standing telling your story. And so keep standing. I just need to know, does it come with physical? Are they physical? And I want to know what the old, those other two sayings was that the young lady brought to the table. I forgot the sayings that she said. I'm quite sure that somebody's listening. And Deborah, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But, you know, you would be definitely, definitely good for her because Deborah, ladies and gentlemen, helped save my life. Every day she sends me inspirational sayings, and it don't always come from scriptures. But she helped save my life, and I want to say thank you, Deborah. And I want to say thank you, Ms. Harmon, because you've been there for me unconditionally, even when I was mean or at my meanest. But if any one of you ladies can answer that question, I would appreciate it. I just need to know what those two terminology was that the lady used. She asked y'all, were you something, and then y'all said, it, no, not that, but I was something else. I just need to know what those two knowledge is, and I want to know if these people come with physical stuff.
Okay, so on that note, Brother Leon, Karen, Deborah, or Jada, anyone of you like to answer the brother's question?
So I want to say I think that she said something about empathetic. Is
that's
that the thing
word
that he talked about?
Yep,
E-M-P-A-T-H. Yes, I just need to know what both of those are.
So a person that is, now either one of y'all can chime in, but empathetic is when you feel the pain of somebody else. Am I right? Like when you can identify with the pain of somebody else, can you all think of a better way to say it?
Jada, I don't know if you have something that you would like to share, but I just, while I'm sitting here at my computer, just looked up empathy. And empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. So, Karen, that's on point.
Okay. And then, thank you, Deborah. And then,
an empath, it's that characteristic is stronger. It's a heightened sensitivity.
Okay.
So your ability to feel what someone else is feeling is at a higher level, and it's almost intuitive.
Okay. So to answer her question, yeah, I probably am an empath. I probably am. And then to answer the brother's question, are they typically physical? And in my case, and what I've read, no. They are not typically physical. It is a emotional and it's mental, but it's not normally physical.
And it is abusive.
Yes, it's a mental abuse. Yeah. And so sometimes those scars that you cannot see run deeper than the ones that you could, you know, because of the physical scars heal quicker than mental scars normally.
I understand. I've been around the block a few times. I've been hurt a lot of times. Not even dealing with that illness, and so it goes outside of there too. But I just hope that the queens on this line who's been through that heard what I said. Think about it. If that person had to study you, just to get next to you, just to inflict harm like that, and you went through, and then you made it through, you came out on the other side, you know, y'all are queens.
Well,
I can't really say how you feel. I'm just telling you from the outside looking in, you're all queens to me because you made it through, because those jokers had to actually study you to get next to you. And it still didn't work because y'all still here telling your story because you got out. Each and every last one of you got out. So you're queens to me. Better queens now than you was then.
Well, thank
okay.
You.
Thank you, Brother Leon. Brother Leon, you can stay on, all right, because you got the lady in case she wants to speak up a little later on. But we have Brother Rashad, Brother Michael.
Yes.
Whoever wants to go next, go right ahead, brother.
Good evening, everybody.
Go ahead, Michael.
All right. Thank you, Rashad. Ladies, this has been a very interesting and deep conversation. You know, when I think of the legend or the mythology of Narcissus, he fell in love with his own image. He saw his image in the water and couldn't leave looking at himself. And so for me, narcissism is a disease of the ego, which is separation, where you feel that you are better, you feel that you are invincible, you feel that you are the best looking. And so from my perspective on life, when we go into the higher stages of consciousness, we have to look at ourselves without blaming anybody or anything, because this is just a dance of life and the experiences that we have. And these dances of life bring us to the point where we are put in situations where we meet people who are egotistic. And we have to realize and ask ourselves, what in ourselves allowed us to be attracted to some type of person like that? And my question is, on both parts, what was the feeling on love? Because until we learn how to love ourselves, we're always going to attract people into our lives that really may not be the best for us. Because when we love ourselves, there are certain things that we will not accept from anyone else. There's certain things that we will not allow. And there are certain things that we look for in another person that's loving. And so until we go inside, we always put ourselves in this situation where we are vulnerable. And so it's very important in my world to look inside and ask yourself what attracted you to these people, and what attracted you to feel this hurt. You know, I was listening to the lady talk, and the gentleman wanted $55,000, wanted her to pay alimony. I remember when I got divorced, I was offered part of my wife's pension. And I told the lawyer, hell no, I don't want that. That's hers. She earned that. You know, it was one thing that we didn't get along, and I don't believe it was narcissism, but I just think we were both immature at that time. And this is the whole thing. It's time for us to start loving ourselves and start doing things and getting still and going deep down within and finding that love. What do you ladies have to say about that?
So the thing, what attracted you to him? That was your question. What attracted you to the narcissist? The narcissistic
yes.
person? So yes. The thing that I have a strong personality. So I was attracted to him because he was very confident. He was confident. Now, what they present to you is not the real person. They present, what they give to you is a representative of themselves. It's not the real person. Now, I was, and they do that because they are not satisfied with themselves. They have a very low self-esteem, actually, but they appear to have, or they present themselves as having a very high self-esteem, but it's over the top, okay? But when they come to you, they don't come to you like that. They come to you, it's very charming. And so it is a deception. And part of why people are so hard on themselves after having been through such a relationship is because they've been deceived. They don't realize.
You didn't see any red flags going through that process?
I didn't see any red flags. Because had I seen a red flag, I would have run, you know. And I could say, like I said, I was younger, and I'd never experienced that kind of callousness before. Of course, I'd been through a breakup before, but I'd never been targeted before. I'd never had anyone study me to the point where they knew what would make me what I was most vulnerable from and use that against me. I never had that before. No. Mm-mm. And I probably haven't had it to that extent since. But now that's just me. But I definitely take full responsibility for having been in the relationship because it takes two. It takes two. But I definitely forgive myself for having dealt with that person because anybody can be forgiven.
And I think it's important that we understand the dynamic that exists. People don't willingly put themselves, most people will not willingly put themselves in harm's way. And when we are misled, mistreated, abused, to me it's very important that we put the emphasis on the actions of the abuser. And that we're real careful about how we articulate the situation so that it doesn't become, how did you let this happen to you?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying in the dance of life, when we come across these things, do we see the signs in people's personalities that lead us to think that that whatever we do will not fulfill them? And there's a sign of separation and desperation in them, that once they get what they want, then that allows them to act out in the way that they want to do. And it's not a matter of blame. It's a matter of we all go through our own experiences, and these lessons are to teach us to love deeper. And teach us to understand the human nature. So that's what I'm saying, and that's what I'm getting at. Because I think when people have this understanding, they can go inside and find that deeper love. And from these experiences, I'm sure that many of you ladies will get involved with anyone of a narcissistic temperament again. And I'm just saying this to help people so they realize that when you see these signs of separation and you see this egotism and you get flattered a whole bunch, again, that comes back to the self, because the compliment is a compliment, but you know who you are. And if you didn't get a compliment, you would be just as content with who you are. When you look in the mirror, you see the divine, and you know that you are divine. And when you walk and talk in that point of divine, you will attract that to you. So that's the point that I'm trying to bring out.
I am. This is Deborah, and I would like to just share from a different perspective for just a moment. And Karen, I love that you said you didn't see any signs when you were younger, and probably some of the signs that we would have recognized at this point, maybe you would have not fallen prey. I will say that there were red flags for me. First of all, it wasn't anything that I was desiring or looking for, none of that. You know, I wasn't looking for it. I didn't see it coming. But in terms of looking within, there is some self-reflection that happens, but I don't think it comes from a lack of self-love. It comes from a point of humanity and caring about people and seeing things in people that are not necessarily better than you, but they are desirable qualities. And so if you have someone that can actually project desirable qualities, it doesn't take away from the fact that you care about yourself. But if they are really brilliant actors, which they appear to be, some of those things you will overlook, even if there is a red flag there. And we're not talking about people that are not intelligent, people don't care for themselves. And, of course, we only have a short period of time to even discuss this, because if we went into greater detail, you'd be surprised the type of people that are targeted and the success rate of a person with a personality disorder have had with engaging themselves with people. So they're very crafty in what they do. And, self-love is definitely important, but I don't think, and Jamie, you can chime in, I don't think it is strictly a matter of lacking the self-love. I don't see that. But I will say in my own situation that there was a crack in my armor, but it did not have to do with self-love.
Yeah. I know we're talking about narcissism. So I would be remiss if I didn't miss this. But we've all seen the picture of the classic narcissist in President Trump. You know, we've seen that play out in front of us and see the selfishness, the separation, the isolation, and his abuse of women, his abuse of power. So we've seen that before. So I want to thank you, ladies, because I know Rashid wants to speak something. But I want to thank you, ladies, for having the courage and opening this dialogue, because we all can learn from it, and we all need to keep talking so somebody can hear this and maybe they can avoid the pain in the situations that you put yourself through. So thank you for having the courage to open this up and have this dialogue. So my hats go off to all of you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Brother Rashad.
Yes.
Right here, brother.
Okay. I just first want to thank all those beautiful queens for that knowledge they shared. It was very insightful. I appreciate that. I just wanted to mention, there's a book I read back in 1979. It's called The Culture of Narcissism. I don't know if any of y'all read that. It's by Christopher Latch. It was a very insightful book. It's talking about the American life in an age of diminishing expectations. But I just curious, did any of you sisters ever read that book?
I've read it, but this is Karen. I've read it, but it's been years ago.
Oh, yeah, because it came out like 42 years ago.
Yeah.
Informative book. It was very informative. I really enjoyed it, you know. But anybody out there who wants more information on that, I thought that was an excellent book. It was a nationwide bestseller back then. So they should read that book, and there's much they can learn from that. That's all I wanted to say. So I thank you all.
Thank you.
So on that note, hold on for a minute. Hold on. Because everything is time. So we still got a little time to take callers. In case callers, you have to hit the number one button if you're listening. And Jay, we got any more callers that want to hit the number one button, want to ask the ladies anything on the panel? Because, by the way, family, just to let you know, we're gonna bring them back. We'll let you know. Just go on the itinerary on my Facebook page, or we'll let you know when they're coming back. Because it was a joy having them this evening. Okay, go right ahead, Jay.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we have any more at this time.
No more at this time?
No, I don't think so. Not
okay, go ahead.
Oh,
Leon, you want to say something, brother?
I think we got one just came in.
Oh, okay. We got one, Leon. You got enough time to hit you back, Leon.
1 second. 7278, you live.
Hello to all of the panelists that are on. I just wanted to address the one question that was asked in reference to is there ever any physical abuse? And someone did respond and say no. I wanted to clarify that is not true. I was a victim of emotional, physical, tormentive, vindictive abuse for over 20 years. I did get out of that situation. I was married, no longer married. I do have children that were a product of that marriage, which then brings in another factor, which makes things harder when you're trying to remove yourself from being with someone of that nature. My situation was so bad that I had to actually go into isolation for a period of time. Because once you begin to try to remove yourself from that individual, you are now faced with such a hatred that comes from that person that they will try to do any and everything to you to make your life a living hell. So once you go through that process, you are now on a journey where you have to not only figure out what went on, what happened, why it happened, you now have to also figure out who you are. Because over those years, you have to realize you are being broken down as an individual. And year by year and day by day, you're being chipped away at. So now you have to go through a whole process of a renewing of your mind to come in to realize who you are. You know, and I did that by reading my word. My favorite scripture at that time to read was Psalms 91 because I was in such fear for my life, fear for my kids' life, and then trying to figure out within that process, who am I? So just wanted, like I said, I wanted to touch bases on, you know, the fact of the question of is there any physical abuse? Yes, there is. There is physical abuse. I'm a product of that. And I also wanted to address the lady that had spoke earlier and let her know that it's gonna take time. It's gonna be a journey. Go through your process. Go through your pain. Don't rush it. Lean on God. Continue to pray and continue to have those that you know that you can lean on, that you can talk to when you're in those vulnerable moments, because they will come.
Thank you, Carla. I didn't have any physical abuse, but I sympathize with you with your physical abuse, and I will say I appreciate the call. I appreciate your calling in and bearing yourself for us. I wanted to, I mean, I know typically we don't ask questions, but I did want, and if you don't want to answer the question, I definitely understand. But with the complication of the children, I would think your situation is more difficult because did you have to maintain a relationship with your abuser because of your children?
Well, what I did was I handled things a little differently because, like I was in the marriage for over 20 years. So my kids were a little older. They weren't, like, toddlers. Okay.
Okay.
So they were at least double digits and up. So what I did was I let the kids, which some may not agree with it, but I let them be the middle because if I had not done that, it would have made things much. He was just like into making things really difficult for me, plain and simple.
Okay.
So what I did was I felt that they were old enough to advocate for themselves. They knew at that point in time what I would allow them to do, what they were and were not allowed to do. So they could tell him, you know, themselves what they needed, what they wanted, you know, and then they can have that conversation. If he wanted to see them or whatever, I always would tell them, okay, just tell him that, you know, let me know, you know, when you want to have the visitation and things of that matter. Now, we did get to a point where I actually moved away because of the thing about narcissists is they like to control and they like to take over. So since he knew where I had lived at, and I would say, you know, well, tell me before you come or let the kids know so that they can tell me that you're coming at so-and-so a time. He didn't do that. It was like no boundaries, no respect. I'm going to show up whenever I feel like it. I'm going to come whenever, whatever day, whatever hour, it doesn't matter. So because of that, now that my kids are, you know, much older now, they're pretty much all grown except for my youngest is 16, I've completely moved across the state because I felt like I could never live my life. So, you know, they always find ways to use certain things to always have a doorway, an open doorway into your life so that they could just torment you in any shape or fashion. You know, so I went ahead and I said, well, my kids are pretty much grown. My youngest is almost 16, so there's no point in me staying here. And I want to be able to live my life. So I clearly moved. But if you don't have any children, the best way is no contact because they're going to keep trying. No matter what, they're going to keep trying. And you have to be the strong one to close the door and keep it shut. Because if you don't, they're going to keep trying to come in, and every time it's going to pick up where they left off. It's never going to change. They're not people to change because they don't think that they're wrong. Everything they do is right. You're always the wrong one. So, you know, to answer your question, I'm not going to keep going and on and on. But so
no,
I
appreciate
it. They were old enough to advocate for themselves, so I let them do it.
Okay. I appreciate the call. I appreciate getting your perspective. I appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, caller.
Hello, Forrest. Can Rashad mention the name of the book again? Because somebody just texted me and they wanted to know the name of the book.
Can you get the name of that good again, my brother? The name of that book.
Yeah, it's called The Culture of Narcissism by Christopher Latch.
Who are you at?
Thank you.
Got it?
Yep.
Yeah, very interesting book.
Okay. Brother, Brother Leon, you have something you wanted to say again?
I had to get a hold on his dog, y'all. He was doing stuff in here he wasn't supposed to be doing.
Yes, brother, I'm not gonna I'm gonna take up too much more of your time. I'm not gonna give up on this. I think that I think her name is Karen, Sister Karen.
Right.
The young lady, the young lady's voice that was driven in the background. She said she went to school with you. She was going to tell you who she was at the time. She'll tell you a little later. I hope that you link up. I hope that you. I hope that she does link up with you. I hope she's still on the line listening. And I can only hope that you will hook up with Forrest and maybe y'all can link her with Ms. Deborah. I hope that every last one of you females on this line, queens, will start something up, and you never know who else that you can help along the way. I'm going to say this for the Christians that's on the line. It said in Scripture, beware, because he's going to send false prophets. When I get out of that, I can say you have to be we, not just you who've been through that, all of us, we have to be care of the wolf that's in sheep clothing. And so for me, you know, it goes a little bit deeper. A lot of us don't have high self-esteem, maybe because of where we came from. And I don't call any of these people, these gentlemen or females, humans. And so I'm going to say this again. There are better queens now. A scar to me is a scar, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, yes. And I understand the physical scar could go away, but the emotional runs deep. And I'm telling you, just for y'all to come on this line and share your stories, to me, you're better queens now. And I know some of y'all are still going through, but I'm just sorry. Y'all just better queens. When I just keep listening to this, for them to have to go through to target you, to study you, just to even get to talk to you, you know, it shows me how strong you always were. And for them to have to study you that long to get to you and to try to control you, I just believe that y'all are strong. Y'all are definitely stronger queens now than ever. And I just wish that each and every last one of you females on this line could link up and start a group to reach out to help other women in the world that's been through the same thing and let them know that they're going to be all right. It is a slow process. It has to be. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. And I know I couldn't have been my mama. That's all I got to say. Couldn't have been my mama. Because I'll still be trying to get home right now. You know what I mean? So, just hang in there, queens. Y'all definitely queens. I wanted to make a comment to one of the sisters. I don't know which one it was. It's between Karen, Jade, and Deborah. One of y'all mentioned how the nickname that he had.
Go ahead, buddy. We got two minutes left. So go ahead, buddy. Okay. You can finish up real quick.
I just wanted to say about that nickname he called you. You know, what it is. You know, what an idiot, because for me, sister, I'm sorry, it's just a little whole lot more for me to hang on to.
Well, Brother Leon, on that note, and sisters on the panel, I just want to say something to my podcast family. The panel will be back. So we will announce, and like I said, it's on my Facebook page on the itinerary that Brother Michael puts up for me. So check out our itinerary on my Facebook page, and also we'll make a verbal announcements to let you know when Miss Karen, Minister Deborah, and spiritual advisor Miss Jada will be back on with us. All right. Of course, Leon will be back on, and I'm going to say something to Sister Winter. Next time, Sister, get your voice together now and pump that Kool-Aid out your heart because we want to hear from you too. And family, we already know part of my team. All right, because I'm part of their team. You got Brother Rashad El Amin, our naturopath, who has given protocols for the last 38 years for health and healing. And also Brother Michael Collins from Longevity Products by way of New York. He's all the way out there in Long Island, y'all. I know they got some snow. We got a little snow up in Newark, New Jersey. And also, please, the green tea. For you green tea lovers out there, go on my Facebook page. You get a discount when you order. And last but not least, my technician. You heard him earlier. Mr. Randy J. Sean Jackson, Friday night, just dialing the same numbers, called Keeping It Real. I want to say thank you to the panel. Thank you to Brother Rashad. Thank you to Brother Michael. And also thank you to Brother Leon by way of Atlantic City. All right, and Sister Winner. And thank you to my podcast audience. We'll see you next Saturday, and we'll have some very impactful insights. Peace and blessings to everyone. Y'all take care and have a nice week.
Peace and blessings.